Content may contain sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and tonight's swinger night on Loveline. Harry Gantz is our first guest. Harry made himself a film called Sex with Strangers, and he is also the creator of HBO's Taxi Cab Confessions, which is one of the shows that Drew has seen.
And like, immensely.
How do you know, though, Drew? You haven't seen any TV shows in the last 40 years. You saw My Mother the Car. You're still talking about
it. My Mother the Car, Please Don't Eat the Daisies, and a bunch of Warner Brothers. A bunch of Warner Brothers cartoons.
Taxi Cab Confessions.
And Taxi Cab Confessions.
Now, that is the only show that I've ever heard Drew speak highly of, besides shows his wife tells him he needs to like, and he's too pee-whipped to say anything about it. Harry is here because of, like I said, he did this film. Is it a documentary, Harry, Sex with Strangers?
Yes, it's a documentary. My brother Joe and I made the film. It follows a year in the life of three couples who are involved in the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And each one is approaching it from a very different perspective. There's James and Teresa, who will be on later, who, of course, have their RV, and they go around to clubs looking for people that they can invite out to their RV and engage in sex.
What kind of clubs?
James and Teresa clubs are unusual in that they don't like swing clubs. They prefer regular clubs because the challenge
people.
Is greater.
They're good-looking people, too.
Well, the challenge is greater because there's attractive people at regular clubs, not those schlubs that show up at the swingers clubs.
Well, in my experience, it runs the gamut from the schlubs to the beautiful people, and our film has people in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s.
Really? You find beautiful people at the swingers clubs?
Yes.
Once
find,
in a while.
Just like in the general population, they're more rare, but they're there.
Right, but if you go out to your average hot spot on a Friday night, you're bound to find more attractive people at that place than you would at the swingers club.
Well, from my experience following the swingers, I'd say you're right.
Right. And James and Teresa, who I've sized up and who are going to be coming in here after the first break, they're not a bad-looking swinger couple themselves. So their thing is why do we got to go pork these schlubs when we can go get civvies? That's
right.
What they call them.
Yeah,
they call them
civvies,
civilians.
Nice.
Yeah, we can get non-swingers to swing with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing there's never been a better time to try to pull that off.
Well, certainly the Internet has made swinging available to the masses. You don't have to go into a dirty bookstore to find that, Swingers magazine from your area. You can log on and find anything you want.
Why do you say it's never been a better time, though?
Well, because
I'd imagine sort of pre-HIV would be the
I think maybe HIV slowed down some heterosexual sex with women, but I think it heated up the homosexual sex with women. And more, there's many more women. The women are the trouble here. They're the ones you want to get, and they're the ones that are tough to get.
I see.
And 10 years ago, it would have been harder to pry a woman out of a club
The kind of swinging you're interested in doing, things have never been better.
The kind of swinging all guys are interested in doing. Women, many more young women are willing to participate in
I know your assumption is
bisexual experiences than they were 10 or 15 years ago.
Your assumption is swinging is bringing a female into a heterosexual couple.
Yeah,
that's
your
definition of swinging.
That's the way I look at it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's what we're going to find out.
Well, the point is I believe women are much more pliable, for lack of a better term, these days than they were 15 years ago.
What if it's just couples switching partners?
I believe that still takes some flexibility on the woman's part, and they're more apt to do that these days. So I think it's a good time. Never been a better time for swinging. I mean, there's got to be sexuality kind of must have a thing like mortgage rates and things like that.
I think
there's good times to get in the market and there's bad times to sell your house, you know?
I think you're right in terms of the female stuff. There's more sort of flexibility there, but I think there's less. We'll find out. We'll talk
less about general swinging?
Less of the couple switching kind of thing. I think when the female comes to multiple guys,
right,
or guys they don't know, it's going
to
get a little...
Well, is that... Do you have to... I mean, in order to swing, Does it take four people to swing and three people are having a menage? Or can you have a three-person? Can you swing successfully with three people?
Well, in the film Sex with Strangers, we follow three couples. So it's not an overview of the lifestyle. But in general, we believe swinging is when a long-term committed couple who are either married or have been together for a while decide consensually to have sex with other people, usually together.
Another couple?
Couple, single.
Right. Okay. So that's what I'm saying. You could go to a club and meet a chick and do that swing. You might have a difficult time going to a club and finding a long-term couple to come home with you, but that doesn't need to be done. Drew, we should think about a little swinging ourselves.
Sounds like you already are.
Yeah. Yeah.
More than what you and I do together?
More. Yeah. Can you imagine how hard we'd start laughing? Somewhere in there. I would have to break wind at a certain point, and then that would be it, Drew.
Oh, my God.
All right. So now the movie is playing where? At the Newart?
Yes, it opens in Los Angeles on Friday night at the Newart, and it's already opened in New York and Philadelphia, and will slowly roll out across the country.
Nothing to do with swinging, but I was just before I left here, I'd TiVo'd what the hell was that documentary we just had in here?
The Family Ecstasy.
Yeah, Small Town Ecstasy. Yeah. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I just thought HBO is doing a hell of a lot more documentaries than they normally do. And just in general, the popularity of documentaries is coming on. And maybe it's following what's been going on with TV. I mean, there's a lot more.
At least I think people like real. They're sick of.
I know, but don't. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Don't cramp on my point here. Mm-hmm. A lot more real on TV, maybe a lot more real is making its way to movie theaters.
I think what's being called real on television is still BS, and so there's even more of a push to bring something real. You see what I'm saying? There's even more of an opportunity for genuine real.
Yeah, but a lot of the stuff we're talking about, whether it's The Real World or Survivor or something, is, you know, non-scripted. Yeah, but would you shut up and let me finish my point? Non-scripted entertainment.
Right.
Okay?
Right. People get used to that.
Yeah. And not only do they get used to it, they find they like it more than bad, tired sitcoms. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking this is going this way for documentaries, too. And like there's never been a better time to swing, there's never been a better time to make documentary films. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I would agree with you. There is a lot of opportunity. But what we do is very different than The Real World or Big Brother. We don't take strangers and put them in a room together out of their city, out of their relationships, and try to stimulate some drama. We go into real relationships that already exist and try to get deeply into those in such a way that, you know, people can empathize with the subjects. Even if you're not a swinger, everybody has had the fantasy of having sex outside of the relationship, and here's a very safe way to sort of explore that by going to see Sex with Strangers.
All right. Well, I have not seen it, but I recommend it highly because it's...
Can you tell us what your sort of take is on things, what your takeaway lessons are from the film? Or?
Well, we approach all of our material, just like in Taxi Cab Confessions, very non-judgmentally.
What do you take away? What do you take away?
I take away, especially for the three couples that we followed, but also for anybody who's swinging, because they have to lead such a double life, their fear of ostracization in the community, a fear of losing their job, are real. Out of the seven subjects in our film, four of them have lost their job as a result of it's come out that they were swinging during the filming or post-filming of this film. So any couple...
Wait a minute. I'm already confused. You followed six people. Seven of them lost their job.
We followed seven people because one of them is a ménage à trois.
How many people lost their job?
Out of those seven we followed, four have lost their job.
In the past, not during the...
No, during or after the filming.
Huh.
And what I admire about these couples...
mainly because they're a-holes, you think?
Yeah, no, not anything to do with that.
No, but they have personality flaws.
But they weren't...
Got them canned.
No, they got... you can listen to Teresa's story and then the other people, you'd have to come and see the film. But what I came away with was that these people are doing whatever they can to make their relationship work. That, you know, the swingers believe that they are living their life on a higher plane often because most couples are fooling around on each other and doing it behind each other's back, and it's destructive to relationship. And they are being much more honest about it. And if they can deal with the jealousy and get over that they have a more fulfilling and a relationship in which the communication is at a higher level. Now, the tagline for the film is sex with strangers and you thought monogamy was hard, because the ability to get over that jealousy is, it's not inherent. And some of them are able to. James and Teresa are very in alignment with each other. But other couples in our film are not. And, that jealousy causes a lot of rifts.
All right. Drew will be here to dissect James and Teresa when they come out. Till then, we'll speak to Jane, who's 24. Jane?
Hello?
What's up?
I have a little problem, I guess you could say. I can't have an orgasm. I've never had an orgasm, but when my husband one night, he started talking dirty to me, I had one. I have not ever been able to have one unless I'm masturbating alone. You know, he doesn't know anything about this, and I imagine that I'm the one talking dirty to another girl. But I don't see myself having sex with another girl. I don't know if you can.
You're talking dirty to her?
What's she doing?
Where's she? She naked?
There is no other girl.
In your fantasy?
Yes.
Oh, boy, you follow that? There is no other girl in your fantasy. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Here's how human brains work, is that when there's something that's highly traumatic or shaming.
We have the world's dumbest caller.
Just prepare yourself.
Don't be alarmed.
Yeah.
Settle in. It's going to be a long night. Go ahead.
That shaming experiences, trauma experiences become sources for arousal later on in life. And in fact, you tend to end up needing the same level of intensity of sort of experience as was the original trauma in order to get aroused. So, we would start asking questions about, were you sexually sort of fondled by a peer when you were a child or something like that?
Okay, I'll get back to you on that one, but I'd like to go back to what Adam just said, that y'all just have the world's dumbest call. Are y'all saying that my call is dumb and not legitimate?
No, I'm just said dumb.
So, let's answer that question about the...
Now you got to get back to Drew.
Okay, well, as far as that goes, do you really want to go back all the way back to...
Yes, it's no accident that that's where I started asking questions, because that's how the human brain works.
Yeah, I'm used to listening to the show, so I kind of know that that's where y'all always go.
All right, well, why is it taking so goddamn long then?
Anyway, yes, I was molested by my mom's best friend.
A female?
No,
a man.
Oh, boy.
I've never been molested by a female.
How old were you?
I was 7.
And how long did this go on?
It went on till I was about 9, and then I told my mom, and she didn't believe me. So ever since then, I've actually hated her. I mean, I've tried ever since then to run away and go live with my dad. I wanted to get away from her.
All right. So
she didn't believe me.
So naturally enough, you've had these highly traumatizing experiences. It's affect your sexuality normally. It's a routine outcome of the biology of how the human brain works in response to these kinds of traumas.
All right, so maybe a little therapy.
Yeah, and what you need to learn is a way to integrate that back into a sense of self and learn how to be able to tolerate and trust people and gain a psychobiological attunement with another person so that your ability to tolerate something like sex without dissociating, without being traumatized again, becomes more normal.
All right, so what?
Therapy, yeah. Boy, that's it. That's the only thing that's going to change that.
What a... she had some stuff going on in her.
You yeah.
Feel her energy, boy?
Well, didn't like men too much.
Oh, maybe that was it, yeah. You know, not really... I'm only half a man. I don't know what the chicks have against me. And what a delightful friend of Mom's who filled up the 7-year-old.
And 2 years of it. 2 years.
And what's up with Mom? Like... What's the kid doing? Just making that up?
I'm willing to bet that the mom shamed her for it. I bet you.
All right. I don't want to spend the first hour on Jane, but what a mom. Crystal?
Yes?
I'm going to... I'll tell you what I'm going to do when I have kids, Drew. I'm going to do them one better. Even if they never came to me and claimed they were molested, I will insist they were molested. I'm that good a parent.
What age are you going to do that?
Well,
tough question.
I'd say K through
each year,
second year
once
of
a year, you're molested.
Yeah, you were molested. I
want to throw in your high and smoking pot too.
Who, the kids?
Yeah, throw that in with the you're molested.
No, I don't want to accuse them of anything. I'm trying to be a good parent. I'm trying to be nurturing. Do you understand?
You're going to insist they were molested, right?
I'm going to insist that
they were molested. Why don't you also insist they're smoking pot, too?
No, because that's a bad thing.
I see.
You're not getting my point.
I see.
We have a lot of parents that don't believe their kids were molested.
I see.
I'm saying I'm going to believe my kid was molested even if he wasn't molested.
I see. Got it.
Now take it a step further, Drew.
Got it.
I suggest you do the same. Crystal?
Uh-huh.
You're 18?
Yeah.
Homeschooled?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's horrible.
Really,
yeah, that's child abuse. What's up? Why were you homeschooled?
Well, because my mom, when I was in ninth grade, my mom found out that I had a boyfriend and lots of stuff that happened, and so she took me out.
Well, what other stuff happened?
Huh?
What was that lots of stuff? What happened?
Stabbed a teacher.
Yeah.
Well, she found out I lost my virginity, so.
She thought you did, or she found out you did?
She found out I did.
Found out you did. Were they super religious folks, your parents?
Not really. Well, my mom is, she's very spiritual or whatever, so.
I guess
you could say she's kind of religious, but
it's a different kind of crazy.
Yeah.
All right, what's up with your phone?
Huh?
Your phone.
I don't know. I'm on a cell phone.
Okay. You don't have a landline? you can call us on?
No? I'm just calling my cell phone so my mom doesn't know I'm calling.
Okay. So you're 18. You're done with homeschooling.
And what's the question? What would you like?
Well, I'm just wondering, how to get a social life. Because my mom's always like,
go to college. Get out of there. Go to college. Move away.
When you graduate in homeschooling, what do you get for a diploma? Like a dish towel? Do you know what I mean? What do they have?
Placemat.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. They're already laminated, so you're in great shape.
Yeah.
All right. Just put your placemat. Would you frame your placemat? Put it
in
your office?
Just have it for dinner. You see it every night when you come eat.
Yeah. Harry, I never did pick up my diploma from high school. I got to go back and get that.
They ain't going to give it to you. You're going to pay $3,000 for those overdue books you owe.
No, it was 1995 for We the People. They never did give me my actual certificate because I owed money, so I never got the diploma.
Well, your available days, get a GED.
Yeah, but you see, I technically have graduated. It's the actual paper that I need. See what I'm saying? They wouldn't physically give me the diploma because I owed the bookroom money. But I'm sure it's been, it's coming on 20 years. I could just go back there, tell them I forgot about it. They'd probably pull it up and give it to me.
It's probably true.
Okay. Yeah, and get on that.
Make placemat out of it.
Jared? Yeah, we got more use out of it.
I've called before.
Yeah? What's that, Jared?
Hello?
Jared?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What's your question?
What happened last time you called?
What's that?
Yeah, we just overheard you saying that you had called before.
Oh, I've called it was a good year and a half, 2 years ago.
And what was that about?
Actually, it was kind of the same reason I'm calling tonight, about a girl that I was with. It was actually more of just troubles with the relationship than it is with tonight.
Right.
It's not really, really troubles, but I was on hold for about...
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second. True, stop talking to people
who
call the show.
You're right.
You really want to get with everybody?
No, you're right.
How many times have I warned you about talking to the callers?
No, you would think there'd be something interesting there.
No, you get burned every night. Just don't do it. It's your fault at a certain point. Jared?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Drew tried to talk to you. Go ahead.
Your question. Go.
Okay. Well, I've been with this girl for about a month and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually got together kind of, I guess, on a one-night stand, but ended up making it work. And so it's kind of sketchy to begin with. But now she wants to bring something into it that I don't really know if I'm comfortable with.
What's that?
The guy that answered the phone didn't believe me at first, and he told me it was from a movie. It's supposedly you can have an orgasm if she puts her fingers, in your butt.
Right.
And so she wants to do that, and is telling me that I'll enjoy it. And I'm like, no, I don't think I will.
And just massaging the prostate, and that's it?
I guess so. And she's like, no, it's the best orgasm you'll ever have.
No, that's crazy. That's Cosmo BS.
Well, maybe it is. How do you know?
No. Because I massage lots of prostates in my professional life.
You do?
It's not something people really enjoy. Some men are stimulated by it, but most is just an unpleasant experience.
Well, it's unpleasant because they got your big eight knuckles up their ass. But
you want,
what
do
they have a nice dainty lady finger up there?
Is that what you're looking for?
No,
seriously, no, no, Jared, shut up for a second. Adam, you really, is that something big, okay for you?
No. If, like, a woman, I got too much hair down there.
I was saying, presuming they can find the Santa's mouth.
Yeah. No, not for me personally.
No, and I'd say 95% of guys would not find it appealing.
But here's the argument. The argument is not, and Harry, you weigh in if you've ever had anyone put a finger up your ass.
I'm not an expert in this field.
Well, you don't have to be a scientist to have a finger up your ass every once in a while. That's all I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Most guys would be uncomfortable with it, and they would not volunteer for it. And if somebody suggested it, they would probably shy away from it. But if it was performed on them properly and possibly effectively, they might enjoy it. We don't know. I would not want to do it myself.
Is somebody taking possession of your brain tonight?
No, listen.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes. And you hear what I'm saying. There's a reason guys shy away from that, because it feels awful.
I don't know that it feels
awful.
I'm
telling you, it does. It does for most guys.
Look, it does for most guys, meaning 55 or 60%
of guys. No, like 80-90% of guys.
Here's all I'm saying, Drew. If you got me in the right place.
That's what I was afraid of. You're not Adam Carolla. You're somebody else.
No, man,
when you talk like this, no. I don't even know you,
look,
man.
I'm not talking about me sitting on a cold tile floor and some inmate trying to rape me with his index finger. I'm talking about a couple glasses of red wine, a little Yanni on the stereo, and a nice lubed up finger of KY going up there.
Let me put it to you this
way. I might get into it. I don't know.
I'm gonna just suggest that you probably won't. However,
yes.
Let's say you did.
Mm-hmm.
Would it substantially improve the experience, or is it all still just pizza and it's all good no matter what? And what the hell get into that for in the first place?
Well, but listen, Drew.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. I'd suggest people do it.
No. Listen. Here's what we run the risk of on this show. I'm with you. I don't like to try anything or do anything, and I don't like any of this stuff. I'm with you.
Thing is, though, women are being taught that this is a great thing. You're going to make all these guys happy. It's like, no, just hold still. Be there with the guy. He's happy now.
Yeah. I agree with that. On the other hand, if some guy wants to give it a whirl,
that's fine.
I'm not going to try to put a bullet in his head.
Of course not. He'll be regretful that he did this.
Well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe she'll be regretful. I'm telling you,
Jared, after all, well, that's a good point.
You got a lot more to lose on the business end of that finger than you do being on my end.
If he doesn't like it, he has a way to get back at her, no doubt.
Okay. Let's take ourselves a little break. We're going to talk about the swinging. We got a couple in here, James and Teresa. Harry Gantz is our guest. He's a documentary filmmaker, and he documented James and Teresa, who are going to be in here in just 1 second. They're going to talk about their lifestyle after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. So, for the first hour this evening, we're going to dedicate it to a topic, and the topic is swinging. And we have a couple of guests here. We have James and Teresa, who are swingers, and they were one of the three couples that our documentary filmmaker, Harry Gantz, was following. He does the HBO Taxi Cab Confessions, and this one is called
Sex with Strangers.
Thank you. And it's opening tomorrow, right?
Where is it opening?
New Art Theater in Los Angeles.
That's right. Opening in the New Art and already opened in Philadelphia, New York, and other cities soon.
All right. Drew, you needed to...
I don't see it on here.
You don't?
No.
Oh, all right. That's just bad printing.
There we go. It's on the back.
Well, that's not your fault, buddy. All right. So, James and Teresa, lean up the mic, and let's ask you a few questions. So, you guys travel...
Thank you.
You guys travel around in an RV?
Yes, correct.
And, like, on weekends?
Mostly, yes. Friday, 3-day weekends, 4-day weekends, yes.
And when you use an RV to have sex in, or use an RV to go from town to town in?
We bought it initially because it allows so much freedom. You can park anywhere, watch the sun come up, watch the sun go down. Don't have to worry about DUIs such as that. And it just sort of, it was by accident that people would come out to the motorhome once we started hitting on them and such.
But you're staying, you're working a beat, right? I mean, you're not going into neighboring states and things like that.
Oh, no, we travel all up and down the California, Oregon, and Washington coast, like 6 times.
What's the best swinging state?
Actually, we do really well at home, actually, in Washington State.
Yeah. Best there, you'd say?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Seattle's pretty hot.
We're there more. We're there more.
Yeah.
We've been successful in other states.
L.A.'s no good now, right?
L.A.'s okay. It's just that...
But you get some, like, Koreans or Mexicans or something. You don't even know what you're getting anymore.
Do people
here.
Get attached?
Well, we like variety now.
Well, no, not that they're not attractive people, but they can't understand what you're asking.
Especially
that's
me.
That's right. That's that thing, y'all.
Do people get attached to you guys? You ever have problems
some
that
have, way? Some have tried, but we have friends, and our friends we do not have sex with, because then you bring in that emotional attachment, and they see you otherwise, and so it's just strangers. We just like the...
But now, what about repeat business? I mean, let's say you meet a couple or a woman or something that you really like. Obviously, you got to swap numbers with them,
you're
right?
Teresa's pointing at something.
I'm pointing at Calvin, Julie, and Sarah. They were repeat business.
Right.
And that's actually how we met Harry and Joe through them, and that's how we got involved with the documentary.
And when you guys would pull the RV up, I'm picturing the Good Sam Club. Drew, can't turn that pager off, even in the middle of one of my spectacular jokes. I was going to say pager. Oh, you look at it and say, Drew, they're going to swing at you. When you pull the RV up in front of a club and you go in, you meet somebody, are you meeting one person or are you meeting a couple?
Well, it depends on
who we
meet that evening.
What's the average?
We meet couples a lot, and then sometimes we meet single men or single women. So it just it really all depends on chemistry and we meet that evening.
And how does it work do you two walk up together and start talking to somebody, or does Teresa go up there and act as the bait, or how does it work? I mean, how do you get in to telling people about swinging?
Actually, we work as a tag team. We have what we call a pregame, a game, and a postgame. And when we're getting ready and getting dressed and such, and we're talking about our fantasies that night, we decide what it is that we might want to do. We go out, and if we accomplish what we go out for, we call that the game. And then we go in and we just split up, and we just go talk to people, introduce ourselves, and tell people what we're about. And if they take it wrong, we say, excuse me, and walk away.
We're very honest with people.
You're right up there.
Right, we're very, very blunt. I come up to women and I say, gosh, you know, you got beautiful eyes. You are so sexy. Ooh, do you like girls? And if they say yes, then I say, right on. Come on out and let's talk for a little while.
Right. And James, are you talking to women? Or are you talking to men? What do you guys get, like, through the mobile home there? I mean, what is it, 60% women? 70% women?
We're more successful with couples, actually, because we focus on couples. Yes, we're a married couple, so we focus on couples.
Now, you have sex with the woman, the man has sex with Teresa, right?
And Teresa has sex with the woman also.
Right. Now, you ever worry that at some point when you're halfway into this guy's wife, he's going to change his mind and go upside your head with a tire iron or something?
We're a good judge of character, and usually we have talked to them and communicated long enough before that to see what kind of personality they have. If we see the guy is pushing the woman into doing it, that's a bad sign, mm-hmm. and that's the guys you watch out for, and you just stay away.
Right, just oral. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. And the trailer must be a mess at them. No, you must have to mop up. I like to go through that place with a black light and really see what's going on in there.
In the middle of
big drain. Set up like a... It's just...
just hose it down.
Yeah, that's nice. I like a monkey cage. Yeah, just have that sprayed concrete everywhere.
Now, Teresa, it sounds like one of the goals for you, though, is to get with the woman.
I do like the affectionate side of a woman that, say, as a man, James cannot give me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's more of that cuddling and coziness that a woman, and the feminine portion of it, that, you know, as a man, he's wonderful, and he's very emotionally supportive, but he doesn't give me that feminine.
Have you ever had times in your life when you were primarily lesbian, or is that...
Actually, my first sexual experience was with a girl when I was very young, and I can remember back to about 6 years old when I would, like, take dad's, you know, girly magazines off the back of the toilet and take them and hide them out in my little place out in the field, my little hiding spot, and I'd tear the pictures out of the pretty ones that I liked. And so I've had fantasies about women from a very young age.
How old were you when you had the first sexual experience with a woman?
Oh, I think I was around 8 years old.
Eight. Mm-hmm. And was it with another eight-year-old?
Yes, around my age. Mm-hmm. She was a neighborhood girl.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
All right, you want to take some calls, or do you want to keep talking, or what do you want to do?
Mm.
Oh, Drew, aren't we supposed to put a call out for calls regarding this topic?
Yeah, for these guys. If people have questions about their lifestyle or what happened to you, or just want to ask questions, help us get into this discussion, now's the time.
And what do you guys do for money?
Work.
How did you guys meet?
We were working in the same hospital. I was a paramedic, and Teresa was a nurse, and we met and started talking. I taught her to sailboard in Panama City, and one thing led to another.
Didn't you say something about her being a helicopter pilot?
Yeah, I'm also a helicopter pilot in the Army National Guard. And by the way, that is one of the areas that one of us people are losing our jobs, unfortunately, in 2002. We're still being pursued because of...
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, well...
What?
It's sad, but I've always kept my professional life separate from my play life. And yet, of course, when the documentary came out, that wasn't enough. And 19 years of service as a helicopter pilot, and my commendable service,
by the way.
So
you're losing your job with the Army Reserve.
Yeah, National Guard.
And this is because a superior officer didn't like...
Like the film, even though they paid to see it. You know, it was on pay-per-view, so it's not like, you know, they could have went out and rented it or anything. But
It was pay-per-view, huh?
Well, it was Showtime originally.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, I understand that it makes sense now why you got canned from this gig. And I'm sympathetic to your plight. I also understand... We deal, when I do other TV shows with stuff, we're trying to deal with cops or firemen or this or that, and they're all real uptight about being on camera.
Anytime you're in a military...
I mean, it's that way within professional sports, too, by the way.
Anytime you're in a militaristically structured system, hospitals are that way, too. Firemen, I imagine, mm-hmm. same thing. We have superior officers who have a sort of their own rear end they're trying to cover in terms of how they present their team or their community, that kind of thing.
I just think it's unfortunate in today's day and age that even if you can be professional at work and keep your personal life separate, which I have gone to great lengths to do.
Well, you made a movie, though.
Right.
But it's not that great
a length. Like it's not like I showed up in my uniform and had to film me.
No,
but it's quite ironic because you can't imagine how many people in the military that we met as we went looking for subjects in swing clubs throughout America.
Oh, listen, these are scary people in the military. Plus, they kill people.
Yeah.
You know, it's all full of that, the world, you know? Like, we can never get a hockey player to come on this show because they're very uptight, the organizations. They don't want them talking about sex or sexual matters. Meanwhile, the sport is a bunch of angry guys from the Soviet Union and Canada beating the crap out of one another with sticks is basically the sport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just beating the F out of each other on frozen blocks of ice. But they're worried about the delicate sensibilities of the fans. I don't know. Meanwhile, there's a riot if there's not a fight during the game. It doesn't make any sense at all. In the military, yeah, for people who make a living off killing people that are shorter than they are.
But they contradict themselves, though. There's a Captain David Donovan who came out and said he was bisexual. They're forcing him to stay in because of the money they supposedly spent on his training. And yet...
Was he a fighter pilot or something?
No, he was military police.
But that's getting into the whole sexual orientation issue, which is... different territory.
Yeah, that's a hotbed there.
Yeah, that's
what kind of choppers did you fly, by the way?
I flew the Huey and the Skycrane, CH-54.
What's the Skycrane? Is that the twin?
No,
it looks
like a big grasshopper,
thing you lower down on stuff and lift it up.
I know, but I was asking if it was the twin. What's the one that has a twin rotor on it?
Chinook is a tandem rotor.
Yeah, you don't want to fly that one. That's the one Godzilla smacks out
of. Right, exactly.
And the Skycrane, that gets whacked out of the air by like Mothra, but the Huey. That's a good looking.
It's a good old workhorse. Yeah, yeah, it's a great aircraft.
Geez, that thing's like probably 40 years old now.
Yeah, it's older than me.
All right, let's talk to Eric, who's 36. Eric.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to call up and say hello to James.
Hi.
Has he had sex with your wife?
What's that?
Has he banged your wife recently?
No. Okay. I work with him.
Oh, okay.
I just call up and say, you know, most people get. You know, think of a swinger thing, oh, he's a bad guy, but I just want to tell everybody he's just a good guy.
Well, I think America knows that now.
Yeah.
Not from this show, from the movie, at least.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks, Eric.
Hey, it's all good times.
All right, take care of yourself there, buddy.
All good times, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I like James and Teresa. It's a nice combination. Drew, what are you doing there?
I'm waiting for them to put a call up here that pertains to James and Lisa.
Oh, well, how do you know that's what it is?
I'm suspicious that's what's going to be there.
All right. Well, maybe we should take ourselves a break.
That'd be good.
It's time anyway. James and Teresa are here tonight. They are a swinging couple. They were the subject, or one of the subjects, of Harry Gantz's documentary, which is called Sex with Strangers, and going to be on in the New Art Theater coming up tomorrow, right? The 3rd?
Yeah.
So go out and check that out. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. No, Dr. Drew's not over there. Dr. Drew's on the phone talking to the hospital. Oh, with his pager. Can't even put the goddamn thing on vibrate. That's how much commitment he has to you. Not this job. You. You, the listener. But I'm here. I'm here every step of the way until I get my hairy, sorry ass out of here in about an hour and 15 minutes and never look back. James and Teresa is our guest tonight, along with Harry Gantz. James and Teresa are a swinging couple. Are you guys are married?
We are. Seven and a half years.
7.5 years. And they travel around in a RV, and they meet couples at clubs, and they have sex with them. And they seem relatively happy. Also, Harry has made himself a movie, which, did you make this movie with your brother, by the way? And sorry for talking to you when you weren't on a microphone.
Yeah, my brother Joe and I did it together, and we've been working together for many years making films.
I'll tell you, someone ought to make a documentary on how you can make documentaries with your brother, because I can't go over to my sister's house for more than about 18 minutes without trying to strangle her. I couldn't imagine trying to do anything with my family other than eat. I working with my family, I don't know how you pull that off.
It can be volatile at times, but it's also rewarding, and it works out quite well. We have a shorthand, so you know, you don't have to go through all the things that
right,
a stranger and get to be a partner with.
Right. All right. Well, anyway, it's called Sex with Strangers. It's a documentary, and it's going to be opening at the New Art Theater out here in Los Angeles tomorrow. And it's also in Philadelphia, New York, are going to be opening in other major cities as well.
Exactly.
All right. So, anyway, Drew is on the phone with the hospital, and let's talk to Eric, who's 28. Eric?
Yes, hi.
Hey.
I saw the movie Sex with Strangers.
You did.
And I just want to tell James and Teresa, you came off as very cute and very loving.
Yeah,
thank you.
They come off that way in person as well.
Now, I had a question. In the movie, it seemed like you folks were kind of good friends with Calvin and Sarah and the other woman.
Julie. Yes, yes, we knew them.
Now, in the movie, he just comes off as a big a-hole, while Sarah seems really sad and pathetic, and I was wondering if that was amplified because of the movie or if that was their general dynamic.
Calvin is a manipulative type guy. That's just the way he is. And, you know, he wants his cake and eat it too. But don't feel sorry for Sarah because she puts herself in that situation. She likes being the victim, and that's the way she plays it off.
Yeah, for people that like being a victim, that's a very, very sad.
It can be sad. And it's very emotional. Some of the scenes between them are very emotional, you know, scenes. And even as a person who knows them, it was difficult for me to watch. But it is the way they are. And Sarah has broken from the trio and has gone off to law school. So she's doing better.
Are you still in contact with her?
No, not anymore. Last time I saw her was about 6 months ago.
Hey, how much nudity is in this picture?
There's a decent degree.
All right.
I think you'd be happy, Adam.
Thank you.
Good strap-on scene.
Oh, it's a good strap-on scene.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay, that's not one of the ladies with you.
Oh, no, it's my strap-on on Julie and Sarah.
Oh, okay, that's good. That's acceptable, then. That's the way God intended strap-ons to be used.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I believe, I'm not... Old Testament, right? I can't remember. Drew, look that up on the computer during the break.
Hezekiah begat... okay.
Yeah, that's right. Begat's just another word for gave it in the ass.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
To Ruth, yes.
That's what it means to me, yes. Nick?
Yes?
You're 28?
No, I'm actually 35.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that. It says that up there.
Okay.
I was looking at the last screen or something.
Well,
what's up?
Here's the deal. I've been married for 15 years, and my wife has had 3 kids. And I love her very much, but, you know, she's all stretched out, you know, kind of down there, and she's not very sexually active. And once I got, you know, she got a little bit drunk, and she said, hey, you know, if you could do it right now, let's do a threesome right now. and it never happened because I didn't have anything.
Yeah, but no. But this is not, would you agree, this is not the way you get into that kind of, this is a relationship that's having trouble and they need to
right,
work it. Yeah.
Right, you need to be good communicators first and you need to work out your problems before you go and try something like this because it'll just cause more problems.
Now, I suspect your wife drinks a little bit regularly, right?
No, actually, she doesn't drink at all.
Well, how is it that you were supposed to wrestle up a second vagina with 15 minutes notice?
Visa crap. She just wanted to, she said, all right, if you can do it right now, let's do it. And she had a friend of hers that I tried to get it going, but nothing ever happened. And
so you just grabbed her phone book and started cold calling?
I mean, she doesn't smoke pot every day, doesn't do something every day?
No, not at all. She's one of those holy rollers, you know, banging the Bible, and I just kind of go with the flow.
Wow.
And
sounds like you guys have a lot to talk about over there.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute, Drew. Why do you say that? Because this is the kind of thing that a woman who didn't drink very often might do. She might get loaded and get a little out of her
mind.
That's
stuff alcoholics do when they're sort of in that, you know.
Well, maybe she was just sort of calling his bluff.
She may have the gene, just doesn't really express it very
well. All right, but she also knew that Nick, what do you do for a living?
I'm a sales rep.
Just out of curiosity, was her dad an alcoholic or her mom or something?
Absolutely not. They're both the nicest people you can ever meet.
Nothing's wrong with alcohol. I'm not saying alcoholics are bad people. But
no, they're better people.
No, they don't drink at all.
All right. But it's because they're...
No, look, she knew that Nick was not going to be able to hop in the minivan and go scour up a lady in 15 or 20 minutes, so she just put it out there.
You know how I get that instinct about this? I'm talking
about I farted, that's what that
is. I don't know. I think, things are okay at home. I mean, you know, you try to do the best you can with the kids and all, but a buddy of mine... he goes down and gets this, he has this 20-year-old prostitute, and, you know, he brings her to his office, and, you know, he invited me a couple times, and we kind of, were with her a few times, so I, in my mind, thinking, well, let's get this, you know, college student, and, next time she says, hey, let's go for it, I'll have something ready to go.
Yeah. You've already been with a prostitute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just be aware, this is a very disturbed situation for your relationship.
How many kids do you have?
Three.
Yeah, you got three kids, Nick. That's it. Listen, screwballs. You got to make a decision. It's like, it's the same one you make with the car. I said the minivan. Look, you want to drive a Porsche? Fine, but you can't have three kids.
Right.
Now, you want to have the three kids? You got to drive the minivan. That's it. It's the same thing with your relationship. You are going to be humping a minivan for the rest of your life. Traveling around in an RV having sex with drunken people on Saturday night.
And the way he's thinking about his wife is impaired. He's not working with this relationship. He's sort of looking at her as an object, and she's sort of worn out and no good anymore. So I still love her. She's great. But the big pieces of their relationship are sort of missing, and the important pieces, and they need to work on reestablishing that.
And using the alcohol for her to be uninhibited so that she would actually try something different, you know, which would be totally out of her norm, and then she's going to regret it later. Unless it's part of her true personality, you know, she's not going to be happy if she tries that, and she may regret it.
James, how old are you, if you don't mind me?
45.
45. Mm-hmm. You're almost, well, I'll be 38 in a few weeks, but I've already lost my will to live. I mean, it's hard to get me out of the house. I can I sit home and beat off to the same porn, and I couldn't even go out and wrestle up a hooker, not on a moral issue or a financial issue. Just
motivation.
I can't motivate. Yeah. I can't motivate. How do you motivate? I mean, your penis must really pull you along.
He's got a great penis. I mean, really, he's just got great energy, and he can go for a long time, and
yeah.
He's got great control. He has the best control I've ever seen in any man.
Really?
Period.
I mean,
he does
not have the orgasm
He can come just a little bit and then stop it.
Really?
I have never been able to see anybody do that. He can do that.
Just one
come
shot,
just a little
it,
bit. Let it drip, and then he'll keep
suck
going.
Suck it back in?
Suck it back in and keep going.
No, he doesn't suck it back
He's got great control.
But that would be nice. That's got to be your next documentary, Harry. You find a guy who can just let that tether stretch out and right back in.
Well, certainly there was enough material just following James and Teresa for one documentary, but we wanted to show a more total view of the lifestyle.
I understand.
You know, in answer to your question, Dr. Drew could probably... shed light on this, but I very well could have a sexual addiction.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could have that, but I've decided instead of spending money on a psychiatrist to have something fixed that I do not want fixed, I'll just support the economy and travel around in an RV and satisfy our...
Are you an addict? Were you an addict anytime?
Nope.
So it fits more with sexual compulsivity, but what's interesting is you've taken these things, you've sort of integrated them, you've made a plan, you've made a something that works for you, too, out of it.
Well, it's an interesting point, which is, as we know... Whatever your thing is, that's your thing. I mean, we say this all the time. I like the big breasts. Drew is more gay, so he likes the modest breasts. But there's guys who like the kids. There's guys who like everything under the sun. And you're not going to talk these guys out of liking what they like any sooner or any easier than you're going to talk me out of liking what I like, which is the big cans. I've liked them since junior high. I like them now, and I imagine I will take those big cans to my grave, God willing.
They actually filmed the breast augmentation for Teresa in the film.
Oh, they did?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I like big cans, too.
Smooth.
That'll be clutching him.
Did you guys drive the RV here? Cause,
no. We didn't. We flew.
Because I got 5 minutes at the 11 o'clock hour.
Right on.
We got the baby oil.
Here's my point, though. I think what James is saying is you know, he's a 45-year-old guy. He doesn't, you know, he could spend... $50,000 sitting on a therapist's couch and trying to get himself to change, not really effectively changing, at least changing his actions, but not his mind. He's not hurting anybody. He's got a partner that is okay with his lifestyle. So go out and live it. It's not not heroin, and it's not child pornography. All right. Drew has something to say, but we don't have enough time for him to say it, which is a great day. I want to thank James and Teresa for coming in here, and also Harry Gantz for coming in here and shedding some light on this topic, and ask people to go out and see this movie, Sex with Strangers. It's at the New Art out here in Los Angeles. It opens tomorrow, and then it's going to be opening nationwide in select theaters. Yes?
And if you want to contact us, you can contact on the website. It's sexwithstrangersthemovie.com, and there's a link to our email there as well.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. All right. Well, that's it for the first hour of Swinging, and then we'll move on to the more traditional second hour of Love Line. But I got to say, I enjoyed those folks.
Yeah.
They were sort of more together than I anticipated.
Right. Likeable. No chaos they could detect, anyway.
No. And I think what we talk about on this show is that about 90% of stuff that seems a little deviant or a little bit weird, it's usually being motivated or propelled by something dark and something that sort of needs tending to, something it needs taking care of. But sometimes you meet people that lead a certain lifestyle or engage in certain behaviors, and there's that sort of 10% where they're sort of sane and sort of okay, and
Like a fetish for them. It's
we
like
give
a
them a
piece.
Pass.
Yeah, it's almost a little, because they both had the history. I mean, Teresa was sexually abused at age 8.
Well, a little bit.
Yeah. And,
maybe.
And he was kind of sexually compulsive, but they made this thing work for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Here's our feeling. I don't want to speak for Drew, but I'm going to speak for Drew. Drew, don't talk. We don't really care what you do as long as you're doing it for the right reasons.
And you know, you're doing it in a healthy, in a way that's not harmful to yourself, that works for you. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but in a sense, like if you want piercing, a penis, aggressive penis piercing, because your father, some tribesman from New Guinea.
Right.
And
it's a long ritual tradition in your family.
Or it's just something you've always been interested in, yeah, or something like that, and everything else is fine, fine. But if it's because the guy lived next door to you growing up, molested you, right, and now you're going to take control over your life by putting a spear through your penis,
yeah,
we'd rather you get a little therapy and correct it that way rather than putting the spear through your penis.
Because we know the spear through the penis won't solve anything, and there'll be yet many, many more problems.
Many more spears to,
yes,
go through the penis. Javier?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Right.
What's up?
Well, I actually kind of disappointed that those the swingers kind of left I know Dr. Drew will be able to answer the question. My problem is that in relationships, I usually have a tendency to get a little bit too jealous, a little too fast. Like as if my girlfriend was talking to a guy or a friend, talking friendly to the guy, which seems like flirting to me. I'll trip off of it, maybe think like a week down the road when I can't get a hold of her, maybe she's with that person.
Yeah, you're a little bit old to be still engaged in that kind of preoccupation.
23.
It's okay. It's on the outer edge, outer rim of that age range.
I don't know. You could be around.
I mean, 17 to 19 is really the sweet spot for that.
Well, that's the sweet spot for just being completely out of control as far as not even knowing how to manage your feelings at all when it comes to women and just being a whole bundle of nerves.
Yeah.
But then the slightly more aggressive, jealous stuff, that can go on up until like late 20s usually.
Right. But it's like, you know, it's like where you get that gut feeling. And that's about it. That's as far as I'll take it. I mean, I'm not going to confront her about it because it's like I know I'm more than likely just, you know, just tripping off of myself, you know, off of my insecurities.
And that's fine. It just realize that when you have issues of abandonment and self-worth, you believe people are going to leave you, so you cling so tightly to try to prevent them from leaving, or as a way of trying to gain mastery over it, you push them away. That's sort of the human impulse. But if you can contain yourself and it's just one of these passing uncomfortable feelings, you'll learn to deal with that with time.
Yeah. Also, believe me, guys, a lot of those crazy feelings, a lot of that energy, a lot of that stuff you have starts to slowly...
First the testosterone levels drop, then you slowly die. And it all...
Well, it's basically, here's life for a guy. And it's sad, but from zero to... Actually, I just heard this report where after, I think, 35 for a guy and, like, 27 for a woman, you start to decrease, at least as far as your reproductive stuff goes.
Oh,
but
yeah.
As a guy, from 0 to, 33, 34, 35, you're growing, and then you hit the top of the mountain, and the rest of your life you spend trying not to slide down the backside of the mountain. You would like to sort of creep down.
Not tumble down.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that basically it?
That's it.
So
enjoy.
As you start getting to the crest of the mountain, though, you start slowing down as you near the summit.
Mm-hmm.
It's that much like climbing Everest. You know, you're making pretty good time around the base, and as you get to the top, the snow gets thick, the wind kicks up, and you're not moving too fast once you get to the top, and then you tumble down the backside. Melissa?
Yeah.
You're 17.
Hi.
What's up?
First of all, I want to say, Dr. Drew, you're a genius.
Thank you.
And Adam, you're cool, too.
I wish that were true.
Thank you.
All right. Well, actually, I'm really sorry, but I lied on my question.
Well, hang on a second. But what the question was is something I wanted to comment on, so let me bring it up. It says she's pregnant with her cousin's baby. Should she be worried about birth defects? And there was some recent study. Well, let her ask her question, whatever it is.
No.
There was some recent stuff that suggested that all this concern about first cousins having babies probably completely unfounded.
Really?
Probably completely not a biological issue.
Just cooked up so cousins wouldn't have
it. Yeah, it's a social issue, and people, you know, it's kind of a freakish way to go through life having a family that has poor boundaries like that, and it's unhealthy emotionally. But it appears that the biological risks are few, if any.
All right, here's the deal, Drew. We cannot reward people who make false claims on this show with an opportunity to ask a question.
Why don't you give her a chance to tell you what the question is, Damien?
No.
Just because she called you a genius?
Because she was nice to us. Exactly.
No, she lied.
All right.
That's it. Kevin, consequences, Drew. You know how important that is. You're 15. What's up, Kevin?
About three days ago, I was a virgin and now I'm not, and it was my first time ever having sex, and about 3 minutes into it, when we hit climax, I just passed out.
We hit climax or you hit climax?
I hit climax.
Yeah.
We didn't hit anything.
Yeah.
She hit the pillow.
You passed out after having...
Yeah, I just passed out on the floor for... she told me it was about like 45 minutes.
45 minutes? You were unconscious?
Yeah, and I haven't gone to school this whole week.
Why? Why?
Because I'm like... messed up. I just don't feel right. And
did you shake or anything? Did she see you?
I don't know. I wasn't awake. I wasn't.
No. That's an important call. You.
Speaking of unconscious,
oh,
I had a big fart flying here, Kevin. Drew's gonna be unconscious for about 45 minutes. Oh, that was a nice one.
No, stop it.
I'm fanning it over toward Drew using the flyer. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Woo-wee.
You know why I wear sweatshirts in here, too, by the way.
Yep, shields
extra
up.
Protection. Shields up, baby.
Is that why you had the people leave early?
Yeah, I felt a big fart coming on about 20 minutes ago.
All right. Anderson, you would love this. Kevin, this is a pretty serious deal here, right? We don't know what happened to you, whether or not it was some sort of intracranial bleeding or low blood pressure or a cardiac problem.
45 minutes, though.
That's a big deal. Being I don't care what
it is,
the circumstances.
It is, but, you know, it was a chick. It was 9 minutes.
There's this other thing. We didn't use, like, a regular condom. We used, like, this new Trojan condom. It's, like, it gives you, like, it warms you up or something, and I asked one of my friends, I called him, and he said that I might have, like, an allergic reaction or something.
No, that was not, Kevin, this is a neurologic, this is a serious thing.
Okay.
You need to see someone, a doctor, about this. And if you want to say you were masturbating and passed out, go ahead. But
oh, that's going to save some face.
Well, if he doesn't want to, that's nice. But it's something that needs to be taken care of immediately. The possibilities are really quite substantial here. Yeah. Maybe it's nothing. There is.
Maybe it's bogus.
Maybe it's bogus. There is syncope after urinating and sometimes after orgasm. That's really rare.
Tell me about my fart or? No, the syncope? What's syncope?
Passing out.
Oh, all right. Good time.
But it's unconsciousness. I mean, God, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm. Hey, ready to rock here?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, Brad. Sure, come on, please. How dare you? Drop that shield. Thank you.
Boop.
Brad, you're 22.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my ex-girlfriend, I found out that she had little cuts on her, and I asked her what she was doing, and she said that she was just doing it to herself.
Uh-huh.
And then she asked me if I would do it to her because she thought it was, like, intimate.
Intimate to sort of, yeah.
Like something, and I just don't vibe with that too well, so.
No, I would suspect you wouldn't want to cut on the flesh.
Yeah.
That's not exactly the coolest thing to be doing. But I could see where she... Yeah, I could see that kind of thinking.
I was wondering just what was up, I guess. But.
Well, it's not something minor. It's a real sign of serious psychological distress.
Oh, wow. shut up, Sean. Sorry.
What the hell was that? His friend?
Yeah.
Is that a human being?
Or a dog?
I think it was a human being.
Yeah.
So anyway, Drew, what were you saying to him?
Just that people cutting is a sign of serious psychological distress, and she needs to be dealt with, and he needs not sort of reinforce that or get involved with it. Just make sure she's under proper care.
All right. We got waiting on a couple calls because we cleared off a few due to the fact that we had a lot of swinger questions. So I think this would be an opportunity for me to once again castigate the weathermen. In this community. I don't know, Drew, if you happened to catch the news Sunday night, but of course, after the rain that never came on Sunday, took a look at the 5-day forecast, and lo and behold, I think it was Wednesday, possibly today,
right.
That's when the storm was coming.
Oh, good.
And I guess my question to these people is, do you ever get tired of being wrong? Or are you just used to it by now? Do you know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
And at what point do you just shut up? You just shut up and go about your way. And here's what I'd like to do, Drew. And tell me if you wouldn't watch this news.
Okay.
Here's the news I would like I like to do. You, if the weather is not going to be within 7 degrees above or below the current day's weather.
No weather.
No weather.
Good.
Don't need you. If we don't see you, that means it's status quo.
No change in the weather.
We're in Southern California.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in the middle of June and it's 87 degrees, the high for the day, and we all know the next day, it'll be 86, it might be 88.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not within 7, you don't say anything.
All right, good.
So no
except
weather.
What do you do, though, if it goes up 2 degrees a day? You know what I'm saying? So at the end of 10 days, it's 100 now degrees.
Well, then you're allowed to come in and say something when it's going to be 7 from the last time you spoke.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes, yes.
So if it's 85 on a Tuesday, and by the time you get up to a Friday, it's going to be within,
right.
Then you come in and talk.
Right.
Now, here's the deal. You don't come in and talk unless it's 7, and if you do come in and talk and it doesn't go within 7, you get a strike.
And what happens after 3 strikes?
S-canned.
Asking her, how about just a caning or something? So really gratify the viewers.
No, yes. Then you must come on, and I'd like a teary apology.
Yes.
And I would like to compose the letter that you will read on the air. Something, something, something about being an a-hole, something about wasting our time, and again, a teary and humble apology. Now, that is one time we see. The other time you get to step out is when it's going to rain.
Mm.
But again, if it doesn't rain, you get a strike. And number three, when the wind is going to be more than 8 knots, about 10 miles an hour,
then you can
pipe up again. But again, if it doesn't happen, you're screwed. So you really have to pick and choose your moments.
You got
to
be right.
Because here's the problem. And I think this is what we're running into, and certainly in this part of the country. These guys have themselves like a 4, 5, 6 minute segment every night. But here's the problem. Nothing's going on.
Yeah.
So what do? You start making claims. You start speculating. You start looking down the week. Start speculating what's going on a Friday, on a Monday. And conversely, because it's apparently not much of a science, and because you guys are mostly folks that couldn't get into like veterinarian or chiropractic school, and you just fell back on this. I mean, you're essentially used car salesmen with a degree. Well, let's face it. Let's face it. These guys are used car salesmen with junior college degrees. Now you got to kill time, so you just start making a bunch of stuff, and we, like idiots, watch, listen, and think there's some merit to it because you're standing in front of a Doppler radar and you're pointing at something that's going on in the Gulf Stream. It never happens. So just please shut up. And I'd like to institute this, Drew. And I would watch any news channel that did this. And what's wrong with the apology? You guys have been wrong now 2 times. It's going to rain Sunday. It's not going to rain Sunday.
What would they do without the comic relief provided by the weatherman always? And then the chatty, upbeat.
Yeah, these guys are idiots.
Come on.
They're just idiots. Do you see the way they dress?
All right, let's go.
Come on, Drew. These are world-class jackasses who need to find new gigs. They're jackasses.
Not the ones I've met. Really not.
Well, they just come on and lie.
Well, then what else are they going to do? They're giving the information for this. And then the National Weather Bureau ought to be chastised and caned also.
Just don't say anything. You're performing a disservice to the public by leading them to believe that something is going to go on that doesn't go on.
Right.
I'm saying we should sue them. Jenny?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
Hi. I had a question regarding anal sex.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I thought you'd be happy about that. I'm calling because my boyfriend of about 4 years and I have been trying to have anal sex and it's just not happening. I'm experiencing like a lot of pain and I'll start crying and then it kills the mood and everything. So I'm wondering if there's like a secret, like a certain position that makes it, you know, facilitates it, makes it easier, or, you know, should I just get really drunk and then be, will that help, or?
Why can't you
start crying?
No. Well, cause I get upset cause I want to do it so bad. But
why do you want to do it so bad?
Because, well, part of it, I'm curious, because, you know, it's
okay,
like...
Okay, well, you've tried it 100 times.
You gotta be.
You tried it 100 times, and it hurts intensely. Your body is telling you this is not right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's your curiosity satisfied. So why are you so intent on doing this?
Well, because he really, really wants it.
All right, well, guess what? He can live without it.
I mean, because I've never bled or anything. It's like I get so worked up about, you know, and I get mad at, like, disappointed in myself that, but I, you know, I'm in pain. Yeah.
What if he, like, wanted you to, like, poke your eyeball until it...
Well, I know what you mean. I understand, but I don't know. It's like I see in porn, and it's like the girls can just do it so easy, and I just wonder, you know, how in the world can they do that, and, you know, because...
Oh, hold on. You ever watch sports?
Yeah.
Do I watch sports?
Yeah, watch like
see a guy dunk a basketball.
Ever
wonder why they can do that and you can't do that?
Yeah,
same deal.
Yeah, cocaine.
So you don't think if I, you know, just
oh, listen, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Who screwed with you? Where's your dad? What did he do to you?
My dad didn't do anything to me.
Aha! He neglected you.
No, actually, my parents are happily married, and my boyfriend and I have a pretty good relationship. It's just something we want to do. And
hold on, I got another one cooking for Drew. Drew, don't open the door. Come on, bud.
Don't get mad, Drew.
I just fanned it over at him. It's great. That's been a while, Drew.
Shield up.
Shields up. Yeah. Hey, Jenny.
Yeah.
You weren't meant to do anal.
Now, really? What you could really cause yourself some harm.
Yeah. And then listen, if he keeps pressuring you, he's not loving you. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
You guys have been together for how long?
Almost 4 years.
And you're 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. It's over. That's enough.
Oh.
Drew, would you agree?
It's suspicious for that, yeah.
Drew's lightheaded because of my gas. He still knows you guys should break up. Right,
oh,
Drew?
Oh, my goodness.
Not lightheaded. I'm just confused. I'm delirious.
He's disoriented. He's got these breathing through his shirt right now. Look, you guys have been together since you were 17?
18, yeah. 18.
All right. Time to break up. 4 years. This is an omen. Anal omen. It's not a bad movie title, is it?
Ooh.
Anal omen?
So, yeah.
The devil meets Uranus.
It could be something about talking to dead people.
I hear dead people fart.
The anal omen from the other side.
He was eating broccoli. Alexis?
Uh-huh.
You're 22?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. What's up?
What's up?
I was wondering what the effect of taking Viagra would be on a woman.
Well, it's not been completely studied yet, but there are occasional reports of women having really very strongly positive responses to it. It's designed really just to increase the blood flow to that area in men, and it just causes erection. It doesn't necessarily do anything to arousal, but there is some evidence that some women, at least, do respond with increasing arousal, meaning more orgasm, that kind of thing.
Let's take a little break here, Drew, because we can get into this Viagra for the ladies just a little bit more when we come back, because it's a question that's starting to come up. More and more now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm curious about the answer to it myself. So we'll take a break. Drew's going to suck some fresh oxygen.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back. Hey, yo. Love Line. Good times. Good times. I gave Drew a blast of asparagus urine in the bathroom. I'll tell you, it works.
I knew when you that glee in your voice that's what you were talking about. Nothing lights you up your world like a spectacularly smelly emission.
Yeah.
You know what's really sad, though?
Is how I laugh at him?
No, the poor janitor's there, and he's got to clean those bathrooms. And he just hears you two guys like screaming and yelling in there and laughing like hyenas. So God, he just the terror that he thinks of.
I got to tell you, it's a mess in there. The toilet's backed up or something's on the fritz. There's a couple inches of water by the urinal there. Oh. So these guys work cut out for him tonight. Drew, did you want to read some article or something?
Well, you wanted to ask about Viagra.
Yeah. All right. Well, Alexis?
Yes.
So you wanted to talk about Viagra, and Drew basically answered your question, which is we're not sure because the studies aren't complete, but it seems to have a positive effect for some women.
Uh-huh.
And as far as the danger, now, I know they don't have the studies, but Drew, would you think it would be any more dangerous for a woman than it would be a man?
No, I would think not. And again, we don't fully know the complete story of men yet, because again, we're just beginning to discover the nitric oxide mechanisms in the brain, and we don't know. Now, what I thought of when Adam brought this up, I was just reading an article today about a new syndrome that had been described called the persistent sexual arousal syndrome in women. Think of this. Yeah, I'm going to read this here. Now, here's the characteristics. Physiologic response is characteristic of sexual arousal, right? The signs of arousal do not resolve with orgasm. The physiology of arousal are usually experienced as unrelated to any subjective sense of sexual excitement or desire. You see what I'm saying? It's like they're just like irritated down there all the time. Persistent sexual arousal may be triggered by not only by sexual activity, but also seemingly non-sexual stimuli. And the experiences are uninvited, intrusive, and unwanted. Women like are crying about it when they come to their doctor. I got this horrible feeling down there. And this, theoretically, Viagra might trigger stuff like this.
Well, you mean, is there area engorged with blood all the time?
Yeah, and some of those cases they were reporting here, that when the doctor went to give an exam, they started having orgasms just being examined.
That would be sort of fun and uncomfortable at the same time, I would imagine, as the doctor.
Yes.
So this is almost equivalent of a guy who has a constant erection.
It's like priapism, except imagine he was constantly orgasming.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold on, let me close my eyes.
Yeah, it's a little different for guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just put one of them big tile sponges down my pants and leave. You know, not the little sink ones, the ones the tile guys used to put the grout in.
Right.
Right, so anyway, Alexis, do you need this or you just want to experiment?
No, I don't necessarily need it. I just thought it might be a good idea.
It's, again, any medication that you don't need, never going to make you better. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you may have an ultimate experience sexually, but it's going to pay a price somewhere. It has to be. That's just the way the body is.
Yeah, but what about, and I know you don't like this, but what about the handful of times you want to just put a little exclamation point on your lovemaking?
Yeah, maybe it's...
A couple times a year.
Well, maybe it's that. Maybe it's fine. I don't know.
Mike?
Yeah.
You're 17. What's up?
I was wondering if there's anything I can do about my memory from smoking a lot of pot, and I've just lost a lot of memory lately.
Is just pot the only drug you're doing?
Yeah, it's the only drug I'm doing.
No ecstasy or speed?
No, I promised myself when I started smoking pot that I wouldn't do anything else.
And you're still smoking pot every day?
Pretty much.
Oh, well, as long as you keep smoking, your memory ain't coming back. But if you stop, it comes back fairly quickly, like 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
And most of the stuff, essentially all of the stuff I've seen from pot seems to be reversible, but the kinds of symptoms you can get when you're using can be quite intense, including rather bad depressions and panic and memory problems like you're finding.
All right. So if you want to know how to get the memory back because of the weed, then you stop smoking the weed.
There you go.
You have to forget about the weed.
Suddenly you will start remembering where you put your car keys every night.
If, in fact, you own a car. Renee?
Oh, excuse me, a van keys.
You're
yeah.
That's right. You're 19?
Yeah, I'm 19.
What's up, Toots Ahoy?
Well, let's see. I have this friend that I'm really close to, and he's like one guy that's in a circle of about 6 girls' friends, and we're all a really close group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually been attracted to him for a while, and I couldn't say anything about it because it was a timing issue, and one of my girlfriends happened to like him for a while, so I never said anything about it to anyone.
Hold on, I'm getting a little bit lost.
I'm with her.
He's been your friend a long time?
Yeah, we've been friends now, really close friends, for about 8 months.
But you've always been attracted to him?
Basically from the beginning, yes.
Okay, so the reason this was a friendship is because you were attracted to him, but he didn't really respond to that.
No, I never told him how I felt. We were all friends.
Hang on, hang on.
He would have made a move.
Yeah, guys know this, believe me. All right, so he didn't have the same kind of feeling that you did, therefore it became a friendship.
Well, like, I mean, I was actually dating somebody when we first became friends, and even though I was dating somebody, I was attracted to him.
Right.
I didn't act never acted on it.
Was he dating someone else at the same time?
He had just broken up with his girlfriend about probably 3 months before we became really good friends.
Sure, let's not get lost in the minutiae here. Let's just keep rolling
along. Right. Go ahead.
Okay, so we've been really good friends, and then a couple weeks ago... We were in my friend's car listening to a CD, and we were just talking, and then all of a sudden we started making out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one that initiated the kiss. And
right.
So we were making out, and then we ended up talking, and I ended up telling him how I felt, that I'd been attracted to him for a while, and how the timing wasn't right because of our friend that liked him, and then he knew about her liking him. And also that, you know, just the timing factor that I was...
All right. So now what?
What's the question?
Okay, we ended up sleeping together later on that night.
Shocking. Yeah. Guys are great.
Now we're not talking to each other. Well, he won't talk to me. I've called him twice since then.
Oh, he wasn't into this.
And what? He hasn't answered my calls. I left him messages, and he hasn't called me back. He told my friends he's not avoiding me, but I don't know. I feel like he is because he hasn't called me back yet.
Okay, so here's the deal, Renee. You should not want him to call you back because it's just going to get you mired deeper into this sort of false relationship.
Didn't you agree that this was not the right timing?
We didn't really even talk about it timing-wise now, but I could see how it could be still not the right timing for a relationship. But
so you had talked about how it was not the right time before?
Before, yes.
But now it may not be the right time as well because you had a friend that liked him?
I had a friend that used to like him.
Let's not even get into this.
He's not into her. Yeah, she's got to accept that.
Right.
I mean, both you and I know that for sure.
No, and everyone goes through this, where they go, no, listen, if you're not into me, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm totally fine with that. But I'm you know, I need some response. Well, you know, I can't be left hanging. You know, we were friends. And I miss our friend.
Yeah.
BS. You're friends because you were hot for the guy.
To begin with. Yeah.
Right. And this guy's not interested in that kind of relationship, Renee.
Uh-huh.
So here's the
Harsh reality.
The harsh reality is he's not interested in you that way.
Uh-huh.
Your friendship was sort of based on
your
attraction to him anyway. So in a way, you sort of lamenting the loss of the friendship is sort of false because you're into him for other reasons.
Uh-huh.
And here you got close to that, but he's realizing he still wants the friendship,
now,
but he's crossed into this, and now what does he do?
Yes, this is a sad, sad part of growing up, but yet an important part. Now, it's you're on the losing end of it. There'll be other times when you'll be on the winning end of it, and it, for some reason, won't feel like you're on the winning end of it.
Uh-huh.
But here's the deal. Him calling you back and you guys reconnecting is only going to drag the pain on longer. So the fact that he hasn't called you back, where it may be a little bit difficult to hear or take at this point, in the big picture is going to be a blessing. I mean, Drew, think about all the idiotic things you did with women. Don't you wish that half of those times they never danced, never even returned a call? Never even came to the door. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't going to happen.
The time when you were looking for your softball, your baseball glove?
Well, her sister let me into her house.
But you found that condom in her bed. Used condom.
Yeah, but still.
That was the thinking that went through your head there.
Hold on, Drew.
No.
you earned yourself another fart, buddy. Keep talking.
All right, shield up.
Keep talking, smart guy. Keep going. You want to talk about my stripper girlfriend who was staying at my grandparents' house and banging that guy motorcycle I used to see parked out front of their place?
No.
Yeah, keep it going, because I'll work another one up.
Oh, my God. It really excites you, doesn't it? Stimulates you, I should say.
It's my body's own defense. When I feel cornered or attacked emotionally, my ass fires back. No, that one didn't have the punch. Natalie?
Yes.
Yeah. As a doctor, you could only give it a 2.5 or a 3.
3. He makes a little pumpkin pie. Huh?
Natalie, you're 20. What's up?
I have both of my nipples pierced, and I was wondering, if I were to get pregnant later on in life, which I'm sure will happen, will we expect breastfeeding in any way?
Well, breastfeeding is already a very difficult maneuver, believe it or not. People have to be coached on it, trained on it. Most babies don't take to it. It's a whole procedure. And this just makes that much more difficult, but it doesn't prevent it. No.
Okay, so are the holes going to close up? Are
you
going to be squirting out of every...
It comes out of it comes out of multiple spots, typically.
Okay.
There can be some healing, and there is, but... It's not going to help things, but it doesn't make it impossible.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Good times there, baby.
Good times.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
All right, baby. All right. I tell you, that the pierced nipple thing, man, it's makes it weird for me.
It's a negative, yeah.
Yeah. It lowers your score.
Yeah.
You lowers your grade quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's distracting.
It's unattractive.
Yeah, and it's unattractive in a way that's not only aesthetic.
Right, it says something.
Yeah, there's something that bothers me about it. Yeah, all right. Elizabeth?
Yes.
You're 26?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm in San Diego right now, and I still have another year of school, but my boyfriend is 4 years younger than me, and he's moving out here to be with me, and we're going to live together, and I'm a little... concerned, I want to make sure that I'm, doing the right thing for him, that this is, the right time for him, and I'm worried that I might be rushing things because I'm older.
How old is he again?
He's 22.
And you don't want to do this?
I do want to do it, but I'm afraid that I'm pushing him too much.
Well, does he not want to do it?
He says that he does, but a lot of his friends are kind of like, whoa.
Well, what is your plan here? You want to get married?
At some point in my life, I would like to.
What's your sort of life script? When do you plan on that happening?
Not for several years, because I still have another year of school, and then
And then I'll be working a lot once I'm done with school, so it probably wouldn't be for another, like, at least 5 years away.
And so you just live with him that whole time, if that relationship lasts until then?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's your plan, just live with him until whenever.
Yeah.
Well, you're in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
He's in L.A.?
No, he's in Chicago.
Oh, okay. You want to bring him out to San Diego to live with you.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah. Well, he's a big boy. He's 22.
Yeah. Would he be going to school also?
Pardon me?
Would he be going to school also?
No, he's graduating this year.
So he's going to start working.
Mm-hmm.
Does he want to work in San Diego? See, I'm more concerned that you're sort of taking control of his life. That's more of a concern to me, that he might make it resentful, or this relationship may have sort of problems because, you know, you are requiring him to focus his, you know, career objectives and his life structure around you and living with you.
See, I don't feel so much like I'm requiring it, but I think that, but because we've been long distance for a while, it's kind of like that's what we want to do right now.
All right. Do it.
Yeah, he's 22. You're 26. You move out. You live together. Either it works or it doesn't.
Right.
Someone moves back somewhere.
Those are hard things to undo, but...
Yeah. I lived with a few people in my day. It's doable.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. You go to Hawaii, you come back, they're gone.
How did your stripper girlfriend deal with those farts?
You bought him a gecko t-shirt. Doesn't matter to them.
Yeah.
You know, at the airport.
That's when she smacked you in the face, though, isn't it?
No, she punched me when I was playing softball, and the game got canceled, so we got drunk.
How did she deal with those farts?
I think I was less gassy back then.
No way.
Well, maybe I was as gassy, but more classy, and I'd put my ass out the apartment door. Maybe we had high ceilings. No, we lived together. We lived together in, two apartments. Oh, they both sucked. Being poor sucks. You know, here's the problem with being poor as a couple. You just argue. Everything is money-oriented.
Yeah.
It's like, honey, why'd you get the Gino's pizza rolls in the 12-pack? You get the 24. It's $2 more. Hey, are you crazy? You know, you start getting a fight over mini pizza rolls and stuff like that. It's just ridiculous.
Ugh.
You start basing your life on saving $4. You get like a coupon to a like, hey, look, I got this thing. You know, if you get one spaghetti meatball meal over at Vitello's out in North Hollywood, you can get the second one half price. But it's like, hey, we live in Santa Monica. Well, we're going to have to leave a couple hours early then. Yeah, I don't really like the Vitello's. We're going anyway. You know, it's like, then you just get uptight. They want to order a glass of wine at dinner. It's like, honey, that's $6. We could split an appetizer. You know, it's like, it just sucks. Being poor sucks. Being poor and living with someone sucks. You just argue. That's all you do is argue.
How did that spigot get just shut off in you, though? Now all of a sudden it's like...
what are you talking about?
You don't think about that anymore at all.
Oh, I got making up to do. Are you kidding? See, here's the difference between me and you here, Drew. You grew up with money, but no one gave you any.
Right.
And now you're in the exact same situation you were growing up, except for it's you not giving you any money. Before it was your cheap-ass dad. Now you've just filled in. It's like your dad tapped out, and you slid in, and now you're not giving you any money. I grew up my whole life looking for money and never finding any. Now I found some. And I'm spending it, goddammit.
Game on.
And I got making up to do.
I see.
Drove pieces of ass pickup trucks with no insurance my whole life. I got making up to do. So you spent your whole life sort of trying not to do something that was there, and I spent my whole life looking for something that wasn't there.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. Good times. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. We're going to get back to the phones, and we're going to help the kitties. You ever said that?
What's that?
Is it Michael?
Yes.
16 years old, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, well, maybe they have a lot of too much information.
Yeah.
What's up, Mike?
Over the past weekend, me and my girlfriend had sex about 4 or 5 times.
Double sex, double up, seven.
And this happened once before.
Double up.
But the next day or a couple days after, I noticed that my penis was dry.
Yeah, well, so, yeah, well, What happens? That was high school.
Mike, do you get sort of peeling the next day?
Yeah.
Was it irritated or red also?
Yeah, kind of.
Little yeasty on the peccaroo.
Yeasty on the peccaroo can do that, but also just a little friction.
Little shaving.
Never had herpes or anything of that sort, Mike?
Have I?
Yeah.
No.
Personal lubricant.
Yeah.
Also, like, while it was peeling, there was little tiny red bumps on the head.
Yeah, again, I just think you just probably just irritated things. Herpes can do this, and if you were going to have it diagnosed, you'd need to have a doctor look at it when you're having one of those little outbreaks. And if something should come back, that's, you know, got evidence you might be dealing with that. But I think you're just probably just plain old friction irritation.
Well, say the Bible, Adam here, blah, 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 like,
What's that, Mike?
I have a suggestion for you guys.
I think
you guys should come out with, like, a CD set of, like, best calls, worst calls, funniest calls, and...
Yeah,
that would require some motivation on our part, wouldn't it?
Well, here's our problem, Drew. Yeah, neither one of us is comfortable doing anything...
That has to do with ourselves.
Yeah.
Especially not self-promotion. That's like, no.
Yeah, someone would have to come over. Like, we wrote this book... Because somebody came up to us and sort of hit us over the head with it and said, you guys got to do this.
Yeah.
And if someone came up to us and said, you have to do this CD or do this whatever, we'd probably do it. Or same with the TV show. If someone came up to us and said, you got to do it, we would just never campaign to do anything.
Yeah. It's almost a flaw.
We need to be split up.
I was going
to
say, we're almost in a flaw that we're that way so much.
Yeah. It's really bad.
Yeah.
You do less than I do, and I do nothing. So you do negative.
We have the anti gene in both of us.
Yes, if Drew was going to be on Politically Incorrect tonight, he would be less likely to talk about Politically Incorrect tonight than he would if he wasn't on Politically Incorrect tonight.
Yes, that's right.
Which is bad, and I'm probably almost as bad as you are, Sarah.
Uh huh.
You're 18.
I am.
It's not modesty. It's low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Don't ever mix those two up. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay. When I masturbate, the only fantasy that gets me off is being raped.
Okay. Have you been victimized?
No, never.
Have you been in situations where... are you any kind of trauma survivor?
No. And that's why I'm kind of freaked out.
What's the rape fantasy?
It's just... it's like... The uglier the better, like the creepier the guy, the better.
Yeah, give it to me. What is it?
Basically, it's like I'm walking home and I get attacked and I'm forced to have sex with multiple scary, creepy guys.
So like a group, like a gang jumps you?
Yeah.
Do you have some shame about your sexuality? Were you guilted or taught that it was bad?
No, but I was kind of introduced to porn like a couple years ago and I've just kind of been fascinated a little bit by it. And it's like, it's creepy because I can't masturbate to anything else but like being victimized.
Yeah. And what do you, is this big group of guys? Like, what are they? What nationality?
It varies.
Mix it up.
Like last night it was black.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta have the blacks, even though, here's the deal. I don't want to alarm you, but even though the blacks make up 10 or 13% of the population, Jesse Jackson says they have to be used in 50% of rape fantasies. Now, the Asians don't complain about it that much, but the blacks need to be represented.
Well, but sometimes they're just big, fat, ugly white guys. Like, it's like...
Well, that's okay, too.
Have you ever had a relationship?
Me? Of course.
How have those gone?
I guess you could say I'm easy. I sleep around a lot.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? Yeah,
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah, something's up.
Well, something's going on.
Yeah, why don't you look into that?
I'm like, I don't know.
It seems like you're sort of adrift. Like you can't assert yourself. You have poor boundaries. You have these fantasies that have to be highly arousing. Just something's up. And probably not a big deal. Probably something you could probably straighten out pretty readily, I bet.
Yeah. Drew, you know what I'd like to see? Yeah, because she sounded fairly normal.
Yeah.
She just wasn't doing a good job of governing herself. Drew, you know what I'd like to see out of you?
Yeah.
And me? I'd like to see a film of your earliest masturbatory fantasies. Wouldn't you like to see that? For me, it'd be like Wonder Woman rapes the Charlie's Angels. I mean, like, I literally, when I was, you know, 14, 15 years old, it was literally picturing Wonder Woman getting it on with one of Charlie's Angels.
I think Jeannie figured it in mind somewhere.
Really?
Yeah. Is there alcohol in your family?
Not too bad at all.
Not too bad.
And no, like my dad's like drinks, but doesn't get drunk.
And any bad anybody ill or anything when you're growing up or
no.
Nothing like that.
Like my family is so normal.
All right, well then knock it off.
Yeah.
Drew, seriously.
What?
Okay. I'm going to think of the most embarrassing scenario you could ever come up with.
And I'll just say yes or no?
No, I just want you to hear me out.
Oh, okay.
We get we rent out a theater.
You and I?
No.
We.
I. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I rent out a theater. And it's a big theater, like Grauman's Chinese, mm-hmm. with like a balcony and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We fill this with everyone that was ever in your life.
Uh-huh.
School teachers, faculty, college, junior high, all the way
people
through.
People who held you in esteem.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Friends, family,
okay.
Everyone. Parents of parents of your kids' friends, faculty from mm-hmm. their school, mm-hmm. coaches, everybody,
mm-hmm.
everybody, even dead people.
Okay, bring them all back. Here we go.
Bring them all back. Fill the time thing. And we run a one-hour reel of all your masturbatory fantasies from age 15 to age 17.
Can crazy. We throw in most shameful moments, too?
No. Fantasy. Just the masturbatory fantasies of, like, one of the chicks from Petticoat Junction on top of, Ava Gabor from Green Acres. It mixed in, by the way, with some teacher, like that you had in the eighth grade, or some screwed up chick with braces and pigtails from 1974 that was in your high school class.
I'll be honest. Can you imagine? My stuff was not that weird back then.
Well, but it would look weird on film.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Just the hairstyles would be embarrassing. Yeah,
just the 70s quality to it would be.
No, I know it doesn't seem not deviant. But just that strange stuff that was going on in there.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Yeah.
All right.
It's all the Playboy grotto fantasy.
Yeah. Drew in a smoking jacket with a pipe. All right. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. The show. I want to give a special thanks to phone screener Damien.
Yahoo, Damien. This is it.
Tonight is his last night. He did a wonderful job for us while he was here with the Loveline family. And yeah, I look at it as a family, although I don't like my own family that much, so it doesn't really mean that
much. You treat us like your family. Yeah, it's great. We want to talk to you about that, in fact.
About treating you like my own family?
Treat us like strangers, for Christ's sake.
All right, you're right. So anyway, Damien is a stand-up guy, and we're just tickled pink to have him here for the months that he was here. And we're going to miss him and wish him well on his journeys, and know he will have much success in his life outside of Loveline. So thanks to Damien for doing a great job. I want to thank producer Ann for doing her usual great job, and co-producer, junior producer Lauren for doing a great job. I want to thank Dr. Drew and
Anderson.
Yes, the wonderful Anderson.
You're about to forget me?
Job. No, I was going to get you, but
he's
I was
trying
thinking,
to think of the new screener's name. That's the problem here.
No, I know Brian's name, but Brian barely did anything, so I don't want to thank him. Yeah. Just put in half a week. Give me a break. No, I was thinking of Tara. Don't call me Tara. Who's where? She gone too?
No, she's still around.
Okay.
She's making a Girls Gone Wild tape.
She's dynamite lady. So, until next time. This is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.